Duffers and Sutler, California's leading manufacturer of gas appliances, present Minutes in Hollywood, starring George Jessel with Norma Talmadge, and the guest stars, by courtesy of Warner Brothers Pictures, Glenda Farrell and Barton McLean, in the scene from their forthcoming picture, Blondes at Work. Also, Ted Healy's Super Stooges, Holly Desmond, Tommy Tucker and his orchestra, Amy Arnell, and the Wonder Child, Josephine Starr. Tommy Tucker and the boys open George Jessel's office in Hollywood with the title song from the picture, You Can't Have Everything.
Hello. Jessel's Radio Enterprise is limited to a chair and a desk. I'm sorry. Limited to a chair. Man just took desk. Wait a minute. Now connect you with Mr. Jesso.
Thank you, just a minute. Miss McDopey, why do you always have to call me to the phone for everything?
Oh, well, you're the boss.
All right, you can be the boss.
Oh, but Mr. Jesso, I don't want to be the boss.
Why not?
Because you're too heavy to sit on my lap.
Hello? Hello, yes, this is Mr. Jesso. Who? Oh, Mom, yes, this is George. How do you feel? You sprained your ankle. Well, what are you doing for it? Just limping. I see. Well, look. Mama, did the man take you out to see the new house? He did? Do you like it? Well, I'm glad. What do you mean, how much? I told him I'd pay him $28,000 for it. He wants $40,000 now? Well, tell him the deal is off and he should send me back the $2 deposit right away. Listen, Ma, did you see that picture that I told you about? You didn't? Why not? The paper you read only gave it 2 matzo balls? See, well, Mom, I gotta go on the air now. You call me back at the end of the program. So long. Folks, you have no idea how hard it is to arrange a radio program. If I tell jokes about cowboys, Buck Benny will get mad. I can't tell jokes about gasoline without hurting a certain pal of mine, Testimonial Eddie. If I call Ben Burney a dope, Winchell takes offense. If I tell jokes about somebody's nose, my uncle and their auntie get mad. You can't get laughs on the government because it isn't patriotic. I can't tell jokes about Chinamen. They got trouble enough. If I kid about the banks, I can't borrow any money. It breaks my heart to tell jokes about poor people because I'm one myself. Farmers object to rube stories. Dentists object to toothache gags. Doctors don't like gags about operations. The broadcasting company won't stand for jokes unless they're clean. Clean jokes are so funny, so there's nothing left for me to do that have Tommy Tucker play a song, we'll sing it. Get me a chair, Pat.
Love is on the air tonight, and it's on a heart-to-heart hookup. Love is everywhere tonight, better load or call the end hookup. He's taken throughout the nation, will have a song coming through. So if your set works, the major network will do your wooing for you.
You should never sing to her if a song is not up your alley. You may sound like sing to her, but she may prefer Rudy Valley. And if some old crooner from old Altoona can tell her better than you, why should you care long as love is on the air tonight?
Say, when do I all get to sing my song this week?
Well, shut my door and pass the boss if it ain't Candy Sweet Potatoes herself. Amy Arnaz, you is late again.
Oh, well, I know it, but I had to stay home and swoop off the porch and woke up the leaves.
Swoop the porch? Well, flatten my tundra. Amy, if I didn't know it was you talking, I'd swear it was stretch and slap it. Now, look, Amy, you're not going to sing. You're not going to sing right now, but I'm going to give you a chance of your lifetime. I'm going to give you a chance to act. If you play your cards right, who can tell you may get the part of Scarlett O'Hara? You know what I mean? Why should you be left out, Amy? See what I mean? Now, you're going to play the part of a Southern girl. Can you play the part of a Southern girl?
No, sir. I don't think so, but I'll sure try.
Well, you got the idea. Here's your part, and here's yours, Miss McDopey. Stand by, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, by arrangement with nobody, we present the big scene from Stooge Door.
Oh, Jerry, how do you feel after your opening performance last night?
Oh, I'm in the punk of condition.
Just a minute, Emmy. That's pink. Pink, Grace. See what I mean? Go ahead, Miss McDopey.
Oh, girls, at last night you got a part. I've got a part. Here it is. Let's all go for Chess Wester.
Let's all go for Chess Wester. Well, here, what's going on here? Wait a minute.
No.
What is that no business?
Well, we are three Hollywood yes men on a vacation.
Oh. Tell me, Miss McDopey, who are these fellas?
Why, they're Ted Healy's Super Stooges.
All right. What are you boys doing here?
Oh, we were listening to the program.
We heard Stooge Door.
So we came in.
And we're glad to see you, Mr. Valley.
What Valley? Valley. I'm not Rudy Valley. I'm George Gesso.
Okay, Shorty. We just want to give you a little boost.
Oh.
Hiya, kid. What do you hear from the mob?
Now, just a minute. I don't hear from the mob at all. What are your names, boys?
No Squint.
No Stoop.
No Stoop.
You've been misinformed about the latter, but tell me, just what do you fellas do for a living?
Nothing. We just ignore it.
Well, that's silly. That's silly, and stop beating each other up. You got some more lines to read. Now, look, haven't you any trade? I mean, like a shoemaker, a tailor, or a barber?
That's it. We're barbers.
Well, why don't you cut your own hair?
We can't.
Why not?
We're on a strike.
All right. Now, that's all right, but you can't kid about this thing. You got to do something. I want your boys to realize this is my bread and butter.
Yeah? What do you do for your meat and potatoes? What a joke.
All right. Now, where are you boys from?
We're from the South.
Hallelujah.
All right.
From the South. Did you ever hear Robert E. Lee?
Well, I don't know you, stranger.
Tell me, how long have you fellas been in California?
Oh, about 6 months.
6 months? And how did you come in?
1, 2, 3. Over to the money. Plenty of those.
All right. Now, what do you fellas do?
Listen, Jessel, we've been earning our own living since we were 4 years old.
And what did you do before that?
We were bums.
Oh. Well, it still goes, but look, you boys must do something.
We play Shakespeare.
Shakespeare, go ahead.
To be or not to be. That is the question.
Well, what is the answer?
What do you think we are, stool pigeons?
There's rhythm in the cactus and a roll of tumbleweed. Oh, the rhythm of the prairie is a kind of rhythm for me. There's rhythm in the hoofbeats when we're rounding up the herd. Oh, the rhythm of the prairie is a kind of rhythm for me. Here's a coyote cry. Beneath the western moon. And the song he's singing just seems to be bringing here that tune to home. There's rhythm in the saddle when we're heading for home. Oh, the rhythm of the prairie is the kind of rhythm for me.
Keep up, ho, ho, ha, 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 ha.
Rhythm in a cactus. Oh, the rhythm of the prairie is the kind of rhythm for me.
Plug it down. Ha, ha, ha.
There's rhythm in the hoofbeats.
Rhythm in the hoofbeats.
Round up the herd.
How to hurry.
Oh, the rhythm of the prairie is the kind of rhythm for me. Hear the coyote cry. Meet the western moon. And the song he's singing just seems to be bringing. Hear that choo-choo hum.
Keep my boot and beat the boat and back the store. Aha, the horse. What is that? Going through a tunnel. I got a thing in my eye. Wow, wow!
Rest in battle. When we're heading for home. Oh, the rhythm of the prairie is the kind of rhythm. Oh,
you didn't hear them. Oh, boy. Thank you, kid. Hey, Mr. Healy. Ha.
Now, folks, from the ridiculous to one delicious flavor, I bring you my little protege who in 3 weeks has endeared herself to millions. A 7.5-year-old girl whose operatic voice, the knowledge of music and languages, has won the praise of music critics all over the land. We are happy to have brought her before the public. We are happy to have brought her before the public. Listen, and let us know if you agree with us. Little Josephine Stark. Quite a surprise to me, darling. I had no idea you were going to sing that song today.
Surprise? But you told me that last week that's what you wanted me to sing today.
Bless her little heart. Folks, you have no idea how hard it is to arrange a radio program. You can...
Past 3 years, California housewives, by their preference, have made the Gaffers and Sattler gas range the leader in California sales. Gaffers and Sattler have merited this confidence by maintaining the highest standards in style, quality, workmanship, and by always offering a better value. These gas ranges are outstanding in beauty and efficiency. Your Gaffers and Sattler dealer will proudly demonstrate the many new labor-saving features and that convenient automatic cooking feature which enables you to place your entire meal in the oven, attend a matinee or bridge party, and return home with the assurance that your dinner is automatically cooked to a queen's taste. And remember, each range carries the guarantee of Gaffers and Sattler, California's leading manufacturer of gas appliances.
You're listening to George Jessel's 30 Minutes in Hollywood, and now may I present my lovely Norma Talmadge.
Thank you, George.
Norma, this is a pleasure. I want you to know that I appreciate you coming here every week, and I want to show my appreciation in deeds, not words. There isn't anything I wouldn't do for you, darling. I'd go through fire and water for you. I'll build you a palace fit for a queen. I'll dress you in robes of royal raiment. I'll bring precious jewels and lay them at your feet.
You lay any precious jewels at my feet, would you mind paying the grocery bill? It's only $8, dear, and it's 6 months past.
Look, honey, just say what's written on the paper. I got enough trouble with the stooges. My only wife invents things on me. grocery store bills. How fantastic. Folks, you have no idea how hard... Well, anyway, the scene for fashions this week is set in London. Dear old London, we now take you to Norman Edwards' Maison de Fashions on Bond Street. Here we are, look out of the ladies' way. Step right in, madam, and welcome to Maison de Fashions.
Thank you. Tell Mr. Edwards, Miss Talmadge is here.
Miss Talmadge? Oh, I'm so happy to meet you, Miss Talmadge. I'm Jerkins, the door tender. I've been with Miss Edwards since I was a little shaver. I'll be so happy to tell him you're here. I've admired you so much, Miss Talmadge.
Oh, thank you so much, Jerkins.
No, Jerkins, if you please. Not Jerkins. I'm in enough pickle as it is, madam, eh? Let me see, the last cinema I saw you in, let me see, what was it? Were you in the Gold Diggers or was it with the R Gang chaps? I don't remember.
Call Mr. Edwards, please.
Miss Summers, I don't like to be forward, but you see, we all dress alike here. And the last patron gave my boss, Mr. Edwards, the tip instead of me. I hope you won't make that mistake. Thank you, Miss Selmy.
Tell Mr. Edwards I'm here.
Oh, I can't do it now, madam. My suspenders just broke.
What has that got to do with it?
Well, I can't call him in with me London bridge is falling down, eh?
Call Mr. Edwards.
Very well, Mr. Edwards. The lady is here from the cinema. Here he is, Miss Talmadge. Mr. Norman Edwards.
Welcome to England and Bond Street, Miss Talmadge.
Thank you, Mr. Edwards.
Can I be of service to you?
Yes, I want to see a dinner dress.
Well, I've got some nice ones, and I'll be only too glad to show them. But first, may I compliment you on the dress you're wearing? I suppose you got that in America.
Yes, I did.
If I'm not too presumptuous, would it be asking a lot to copy those lines to England?
Why, not at all.
Miss Sensley?
Yes, sir.
Make these notes, please. Miss Talmadge is wearing a black sequin dress set on sports lines. It has three square buttons and a wide belt of chartreuse antelope. Patch sleeves are elbow length and the shoulders are square. Thank you. Now, Miss Talmadge, may I show you a hostess gown?
Yes, I'd like to see one.
This is really quite special. We're making it for Lady Chester Bottomley. The material is 14 karat gold poured on the wrong side of satin, very simply cut on the bias with a short train. The elbow length sleeves are of Russian sable, and you'll notice the neck is high, draped, and round. I'm sure it'll create a sensation among your American friends.
Oh, I'd love it. But I don't think, under present conditions, that is, well, with the way the market has been and...
By the way, Miss Talmadge, I thought you'd be going to the Derby before you leave.
I may.
Well, here's something you can wear for the races. Gray Angora wool, flecked with red patent leather, very straight, one pleat in the back and long tight sleeves. The neck is finished with a black marquisette ascot tie and is worn under a short bolero of black ermine. How does that strike you?
I'll bring Mr. Jessel in to see it.
Oh, I'm sure Mr. Jessel will like it. He's quite a sportsman, isn't he?
Well, yes, he is.
Does he ride horses?
On and off.
Oh, I suppose he plays polo, then.
No, he doesn't play polo, but he does play a slashing game of pinochle.
Does he hunt?
Yes, for card games.
Honey, just read what's on the paper.
But, Mr. Edwards, his best sport is still post office.
Post office? Isn't that a child's game?
Not the way Mr. Jessel plays it.
Thank you. Thank you. This way out, Miss Talmadge. This way out.
Thank you, Mr. Edwards. Thank you, ladies.
We next present our guests, famous the world over for their original characters in the famous Torchy Blaine motion picture series produced by Brian Foy for Warner Brothers. We now present the creator of the famous Torchy Blaine characters, Miss Glenda Farrell. And the creator of the famous Lieutenant Steve McBride character, Mr. Barton McLean. According to a scene in their latest picture, Blondes at Work. And by the way, folks, you people who are listening in, we'd like to have a reaction on this picture and the idea that you have about Torchy and Steve. Do you think they should be married? Write to your local station or to us and tell us what you think. The scene in this picture, Blondes at Work, is an interesting one. As you know, Torchy is the ace reporter of a newspaper. She's engaged to Lieutenant McBride of the police department. A murder has been committed, and the murder weapon has not been found. The chief of police cautions McBride that no inside information must get out, particularly to Torchy, or McBride will lose his bag. McBride promises. Torchy is now riding in McBride's car. The chauffeur is driving it. The chauffeur is the faithful Gehagan, played by Tom Kennedy. And as the scene opens, Gehagan speaks.
Where to, Torchy?
To my apartment and step on it.
Sirens and all?
No, I'll be the siren.
Oh, gee, they sound so wonderful, too.
Yes. Tell me, Gehagan, are you still writing poetry?
Yeah, but I'm kind of stuck. I can't find a word to rhyme with orange.
Orange. Oh. Well, don't let that throw you. Geniuses have been stuck on that one.
Well, that makes me a genius.
Ooh, at least.
That makes it all the better for my diary.
Oh, much better for... Your what?
Well, you see, besides writing poems, I'm keeping a diary.
You're Hagen. You're the answer to a maiden's muddle.
Yep. I'm keeping a record of everything I do for posterity.
Oh. Oh, that's wonderful. Why don't you keep a record of everything Lieutenant McBride does, too? You know, you could make yourself a fortune.
I can how?
Well, by writing a book later about his cases, like S.S. Van Dyne and Anthony Abbott did about their bosses, the mid-thousands.
That's right. What have those mugs got that I ain't got? I'll make millions.
Sure you will, sure. But you must write down everything Steve does. And don't let him know about it. You know, he's so modest.
Yeah, that's right. I won't let nobody know about it but you. I'll start in right now.
Yes, that's it. Now, what is he doing, and where is he?
Lieutenant McBride is on one of his little secret cases. Right now, he's out looking for the murder weapon in Spencer's office. He thinks he'll find a knife.
Hmm. Well, that's enough for a start. Now, stop the car and never mind the apartment. You can let me out right here.
Okay, but be sure and don't say nothing about the diary. And don't give me away.
Oh, no. If anyone gives anything away, it'll be you. I'll keep your secret. You can depend on me. I'm a newspaper woman.
Don't worry about me. You know, mum's the word.
Yeah, mum's the word. Or is it dumb?
The next scene is in the office of Spencer, the murdered man, at midnight. Lieutenant McBride and his aide Parker, played by Thomas Jackson, are discovered in the office. They've been waiting for phone calls, which haven't come in.
Yes, operator. You say you've been trying to get me? Well, the phone hasn't been ringing. Everybody claims they've been trying to ring this number. Well, Parker, you're a fine assistant. Why don't you say something? Why didn't that phone ring?
Maybe it can't. Maybe Mr. Spencer doesn't like telephones and stopped the bell with a wad of paper.
Say, that's an idea. Let's have a look at that phone box. Ah, here's where the trouble is. Here's what we've been looking for.
A paper knife. Good work, Lieutenant.
Keep this under your hat. I don't want Torchy to know anything about it.
Hello, boys. Did you, find
something? Torchy, what are you doing here? How did you get past the watchman?
Well, a silver dollar looks just like a police badge in the dark.
What did you expect to find? I'll get no information from me.
Well, I didn't expect to find anything except something that might cut into the defense or put an edge on the DA's case.
Ah, don't be silly. If I found anything, I wouldn't expect to tell you.
No. No, I know, but what is nice, there's hope.
Let's get out of here. You want me to drop you to your apartment, Torchy?
No, but you can buy me a steak.
Maybe I better buy you a butcher shop and get it over with.
Oh.
So long, partner.
The next scene takes us to the Press Cafe, where Torchy and McBride are seated at a table in the rear.
Hey, darling, what's wrong with you?
Nothing, except we're going to be married as soon as we get our vacations, and don't forget it.
Well, the trouble with you is, darling, you don't eat enough. Hey, waiter!
Good evening, Miss Blaine. Good evening, Miss McBride. What can I do for you?
Well, I'm not very hungry. I'll have a steak and some potatoes and a salad and just some pie and coffee.
What, no appetizer?
Well, bring me a couple of baby lamb chops.
And what do you want, Lieutenant?
I'll have an aspirin. Now, listen, Torchy, we're not going to wait till our vacations. We're going to get married right away.
Oh, Stevie, the suddenness is so sudden.
And you're going to chuck your job at that paper and stay home where you belong.
Oh, I knew there was a catch in it. What's the use of going through all that again, Steve? I tell you, I've got ink in my blood and a nose for news and need something besides powder.
All right, from now on, you can follow your nose and get your own police news.
Oh, then that means you've got some news.
What makes you think so?
Well, maybe I'm psychic.
All right, let's see if you're psychic enough to get scoops without tips from the inside.
All right, let's see if you're sleuth enough to crack cases without leads from the outside.
That's the finish. Listen, kid, from now on...
I know. You go my way and I'll go yours. Let's
all
swing
right.
it.
From now on, all we talk about when we get together is...
Love and kisses. Stevie.
I wasn't going to say that.
I know, but it's nice work if you can get it.
Now, go ahead and clown. Maybe it won't look so funny when you get any more scoops for your paper.
Now, wait a minute, darling. Aren't you forgetting something?
I don't like to show my affection in public.
Affection? I didn't mean affection. How about paying my dinner check?
$2.85? What was that, an elephant steak? Okay, Torchy, Hagen will drive you home. Let's get out of here. I got some work to do, and you're not going to know anything about it.
Well, don't go away mad, darling. People think we're married already.
I'll ask you once more. Are you going to give up this newspaper stuff and marry me and look after our home?
Yes, darling.
And you're going to stop running around all night looking for news?
Yes, darling.
All right, then you can kiss me.
Yes, darling.
I said good night. That's a good girl. Hagen will take you right home, and I'll call up and see if you stay there.
Well, if you don't find me at home, I'll be down with the paper.
Paper? What for?
Well, it's about the story of the knife you just found in the phone box, the murder weapon, remember? Stevie, I've got a scoop.
Oh, yeah? Well, here's another scoop. You can tell him the wedding is off.
best way to avoid those unpleasant and annoying winter colds is to accept our invitation to become one of the many warm friends of the Gaffers and Sattler circulating gas heater. The one heater that warms the entire home, every corner, evenly and properly heated. All sizes, all styles, and all prices from which to choose. Regardless of the fact that these circulating heaters are inexpensive to buy, Gaffers and Sattler have maintained the highest quality of material and workmanship. They are finished with durable porcelain enamel and trimmed in triple-plated chromium. The new Gaffers and Sattler circulating gas heaters are designed to fit into almost any decorative scheme. Buy one of these splendid heating appliances from your nearest Gaffers and Sattler dealer tomorrow. Each one is guaranteed by Gaffers and Sattler, California's leading manufacturer of gas appliances.
Mom? What do they say? The neighbors think the show is fine. Well, that's swell, Mama. I hear you coughing. I'm worried. Well, sure you're coughing. Is anybody with you? Oh, Anna's fella is there. Well, tell him to get you a glass of water. You don't want to bother him? He's studying law. Tell him to get you a glass of water. He can be a lawyer 5 minutes later. It won't hurt. Who's that? Uncle Milford is with you, too. Fine. Hide my ties. Don't forget. Right away. What happened? What is all that yelling? What? Willie's dog just bit Anna's fella on the ankle. He did, eh? What, this morning? Well, did he put iodine on it? He didn't? The dog got away too quick. I see. Look, Mom, tell him. What do you mean he's mad at me? Why should he be mad at me? I called him a hippopotamus? Well, that's so silly, but that was 11 years ago I called him a hippopotamus. He never saw one till yesterday? Say, how is Willie? How's the kid getting on? He wants to go in business. What kind of a business can a little boy 11 years old go? Put him on the phone. I'll talk to him. Hello, Sonny. You want to go into business? Huh? What do you want? You want to steal tires? That's a fine, but you forget that. And I want to tell you something. Look, put Mama back. Mama, I got to sign off now, but be sure and listen next week. I'm going to have that beloved little actor singer, Bobby Breen, here. Yeah. Breen, yes. The Breen, not Green. But what comes after B? All the rest of the letters. I know that. Well, and tell Willie in another week or so after, I'm going to have Dick Tracy, the famous detective, and he should behave himself. I forgot to say how hard it is to arrange a radio program. All right. Well, good night, Mom. Good night, everybody.
Save 30 minutes of your time next Sunday and meet us again in George Jessel's office. The famous composer Percy Weinrich and the celebrated young actor-singer Bobby Breen will be there waiting for you. The doors will be open at 3 p.m. 30 Minutes in Hollywood, starring George Jessel, comes to you direct from Hollywood over facilities of the Don Lee Network. 30 Minutes in Hollywood is a presentation of Gaffers and Sattler.
Heard on this program were the selections Love is on the Air Tonight from Varsity Show, Roses in December from Life of the Party, and That Old Feeling from Vogue of 1938. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.